Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
We're going to talk about trials today. Did that make you want to shout? Trials. Can't you get anything better than that? No? Well, listen, I'm going to talk about, here's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about Satan's purpose in trials. What's his purpose? What's he after? You know, because, you know, when I got a revelation of this, that he had a purpose in mind. What it did for me was it made me that much more determined that he wasn't going to get his way. When I realized what he was really trying to do, you know. And then before we're done, I'm going to talk about what God's purpose is. God's got a good plan. Amen? I want you, go with me, and we're going to preach for a little bit here. Revelation chapter 12. Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Amen? Revelation chapter 12. Because, you know, you have to know, you know, what the devil's after. You know, if you don't know your enemy, how many know he wins? You got to know. And so we're going to expose him today by the word. Amen. Now, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the word says, this is John, he said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren, which accused them before our God, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Let's read it again. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren, now who would that be? Is cast down, which, and you're right, it's the devil, which accused them before our God day and night. You know, the devil has an issue with you. I said he has an issue with you. And his issue, listen to it, his issue is this. It's not so much that he has an issue with you as it is he has an issue with God. And he can't get to God, so the next best thing is to get to you. One of the things, think about, as a parent, just think about, you know, if someone got your children to turn on you, that hurts, doesn't it? And so the devil has an issue with God. He has an issue with God. But he knows he can't, there's nothing he can do about it. How many know he's a loser and he's going to lose? Amen. Come on, are you all alive this morning? All right. So he's a loser, he's going to lose. So his issue is, I've got to get to God's children, because if I get to his children, I hurt God's heart. Now, I'm going to show you some things this morning, and some of these things we've talked about before, but, you know, we have to be reminded. Amen. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you, but I have to be reminded. You know what I'm saying? I have to be reminded of a lot of things, because we tend to forget. And so we have to be reminded. So what we're going to talk about is, what is his purpose? What's the devil after when, you know, he comes against us? Well, listen, do you remember? Let's just think back. I don't want to read it. I don't think we have the time to do this morning. But I want you to think back. What the Bible talks about Job. I remember Job. And the Bible says that there was a day when the sons of God, which the Old Testament called the angels, the sons of God, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. And the Lord said, where you been? And he said, I've been walking up and down in the earth, going to and fro in the earth. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Have you set your heart on my servant Job, that there's no one like him in all the earth, an upright man who fears me and hates evil, he shuns evil? And the devil said, now remember, everybody say, accuser of the brethren. He said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge about him, about all of his stuff, about everything that he has. You've blessed his work. You've prospered him. But if, this is paraphrase, but if he loses that, he'll curse you to your face. That's the accuser of the brethren. He's accusing you. He's accusing me to God, saying the only reason those people love you and serve you is because you've blessed them. Now, I want you to notice what God does. This is just good. The devil said, have you not made a hedge about him? That's what God does. God's not the attacker. He's not the one that causes bad things to come in our life. He's the one that makes the hedge. Glory to God. But the devil said, if he loses all of this, if he loses his stuff, he will curse you to your face. And then, you know, some things happened, Job, you know. He lost all of his stuff, his children. He lost his children. And you know what the Bible said he did? He fell down on the ground and worshiped the Lord. It didn't work. It didn't work. So in chapter 2, the devil comes back again and he comes before God. And the Lord said, what you been doing? He said, I've been going up and down in the earth to and fro. And he said, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him in all the earth? And an upright man, fears me, hates evil. And the devil says, you let something happen to him personally. You let his physical body get touched and he will curse you to your face. And, you know, and the Bible says the devil. Now, listen now. Everybody listen now. We people blame it on God, but the Bible says the devil went forth and smote Job, not God, with sore boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And the Bible says his wife said, curse God and die. How'd you like to have a wife like that? You're going through trouble and she said, just curse God and die. Well, see, what's going on here? Well, see, she's just saying the same thing she's just being used of the devil. That's what the devil wants him to do, is curse God and die. You know what I found out? I found out when the devil is after me, when he's attacking me, it's not that he's really after me per se. It's not that he really is after my stuff. It's not that he's after my health. It's that he's after my faith. That's what he's after. If he can get my faith, and he can get my confidence in God, he's accomplished his purpose, because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he's not... When I saw that, I saw he's after my faith. He's just... It's his only... It's kind of his twisted way at getting back at God. You know, because the devil has... He's got an issue with God. He got one-third of the angels to fall. Did you know that? One-third of the angels fell. And so, you see, our faith is precious. That's what the Bible says. The Bible calls it precious faith. It's precious to God. It should be precious to us. Amen? And so, I've just learned any time the devil's attack, because, you know, listen, a lot of people think that faith means that we're never going to have any attacks. No, faith means we have the victory. Amen? You know, the Bible even says, there's a lot of scriptures that us Word of Faith people, that we don't teach on much, but, you know, they're in the Bible. Amen. You know, there's one scripture in Acts says that Paul and Silas, that they went about confirming the souls of the disciples, going around to different churches and encouraged them and telling them that through much tribulation, tell them to continue in the faith, and that through much tribulation, we must enter into the kingdom of God. How many got that scripture on your refrigerator? Come on, lift your hand. You got nobody? I don't either. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean, like some people teach, we just live a life of trouble and woe? No, what it means is that along this way, if we're going to walk in the fullness that God has for us, the devil is going to contest our faith. Amen. Amen. But praise God, we can be victorious through all of it. Yeah. Amen? And so we have to realize that and understand that, you know, because there's a temptation, you know, the devil will tempt you to get mad at God. Now, and to cast off your faith. But now listen now. See, people say, well, we're under the new covenant. Well, it really hasn't changed under the new covenant. It really hasn't. See, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, your adversary, the devil, walketh about. That's the same thing he's doing in the book of Job. Walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But here's the good part. In the New Testament, we have authority. Hallelujah. Whom resist steadfast. Everybody say steadfast. Anybody know what steadfast means? You just stay with it, right? Steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are happening to your brother and that they're in the world. Amen. Now, we have to understand, he hadn't changed. He's still trying to get people's faith and confidence in God. Even Jesus said it. Mark chapter 4, remember? He said that the persecution, affliction comes for what? For the word's sake. For the word's sake. But what the devil will do is he'll attack you and then he'll blame it on God. Right? Or he'll say, if God really loved you, why aren't you delivered yet? Well, Pastor, that's easy for you to preach. You never go through any trials. I wish you were right. You just keep confessing that over me, all right? You just keep saying that. And oh, I agree with you that that comes to pass someday. No, have you know we all face trials. See, I'm going through some right now. I'm going through some right now. And the devil, he never changes his tactics. He never changes it. You know, he tries to get you miffed at God. Amen. Amen. You know, if you know, and now, you know, of course, if we prayed and things came to pass immediately, then there isn't any opportunity. But sometimes we have to persevere. I'm going to show you scripture here in just a minute if we have time. But I just want you, this isn't really deep this morning, but if you get it, it puts a tiger in your tank. Amen. You know, because you realize, look, all right, I realize what's going on here. It's the devil. It's the devil messing with me. He's trying to get my faith so he can hurt my father. See, he realizes that he can't get to God directly, but if he can get to me, one of God's children, and I lose my faith in my father, then that hurts God. That hurts the father. So it's his, you know, back door way of getting to God. But thank God, if you know it, praise God, you just keep persevering. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, all right, let's just talk about this. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. I won't go long this morning, I don't think, but we'll just see. Luke chapter 22. I never go long anyway, but I don't know if we'll go a whole lot on this, but it's just important that we get this. Hallelujah. You know, because people sometimes think, you know, that people that are, you know, like me or Pastor Chuck or Pastor Jerry, people that preach, that they never have any issues. No, we have the same issues you have. We may not talk about them all the time, but we have them. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, I've been fighting my own battles lately, but thank God I'm victorious. Amen. Glory to God. Yeah, you know, sure, I want them to leave the next day. No, I want them to leave immediately. Amen. Right? I mean, you know, I love, you know, those immediate manifestations. Yeah. Amen. And I've seen those immediate manifestations, and I've had some, but I've had to fight some battles sometimes for months. Yeah. You know, I don't know how they know this, but the people that they call themselves scholars say that Job went through his trial for 9 months. So that was a pretty long time. Yeah. But yet, all during that, now you know Job, he didn't have authority over the devil. He's not a New Testament figure, and so there's a lot of things that are a little bit different, but yet the principle is still the same. The devil was after Job's faith. He wanted Job to curse God and turn on God, and that was his way of hurting God. But Job never did do it. You know, he wasn't always right about what he thought, what he believed, his theology. But he was still, you know what I'm saying, he still was on God, stayed on God's side. Yeah. Right. You know, he said, if the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. How many know the Lord didn't take away from Job? Right? The Lord gave. But Job didn't know that. Job didn't know that. He didn't have the New Testament. You know, he didn't know all that. He just thought it must have been God doing it. You know, God gave and God's taken away. And I thought about that. Think about that. Job thought God was doing it, and he still kept worshiping God and kept his faith, even though he thought God was doing it.
Right.
Now, we've been taught enough to know it's not God.
Right?
Right? So we're one up on that, right? So the devil, but still the New Testament, it still works the same way. The devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, how does he devour you? Well, when you give up on your faith, he's devoured you. That's what he's after, to get you to give up on your faith so that it hurts God in the end. Because our faith pleases God, the Bible says. Whether that means you quit serving or quit walking with God, or whether that means that you gave up on a certain area of believing God. Amen. I've seen people over the years that, you know, trouble came, tribulation came, and they just totally quit serving God. I mean, they left the church, you know. You tried to help them, but they just wouldn't be helped. They wouldn't be comforted. Amen. You know, I mean, I remember years ago, a young man in our church, you know, and his mother got cancer, and he's believing God to heal her, and she died, and he left the church. He left the church over that. Well, I don't know why his mom died of cancer. A lot of people do. I don't know why she did, but here's what I do know. God's not your problem.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. He's your answer. Amen. And our faith shouldn't be so shallow that if we don't get our way, we turn. Well, that's good preaching, Pastor. I know. I'm just encouraging myself here a little bit. You're not going to do it, I will, all right? We shouldn't be that shallow, you know what I'm saying? Now, God's already provided for us. We know that. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I'm just simply saying, even if it came to that, I don't care. You know, I've said it before, said it many times. If all I ever got was heaven, that's enough to shout about for eternity.
Yeah. Woo,
hallelujah. But God's got much more for us. But the devil can test it. He can test our faith. He wants to get our faith.
Yeah.
Amen. And it hasn't changed. What he was doing in the book of Job, he's still doing today. He's still attacking people and trying to get them to give up on God, give up their faith, and thereby hurt God. That's the only way he's got to get to God. He can't get to God any other way. You know that? You know what I'm saying? There's not this, like some people in the world would like you to think that there's this big battle between God and the devil, and in the end we're going to find out who's going to win, and you just better be on the right side. How many know the battle is already decided?
Amen.
Have you know that Jesus didn't come down here to get authority over the devil for God? God already had it. Right? The devil said, you can read in Isaiah, the devil said, I'm going to exalt my throne above your throne. I'm going to sit on the sides of the north. I'm going to be like the Most High God. And God said, you will go to hell. And that was the end of that. Jesus came down here to get authority for us. Hallelujah. So that we could be masters over the devil. Amen? Now, so it hasn't changed from the book of Job all the way to the book of Peter. We still see the devil operates the same way, is to attack God's people and try to get them to give up their faith and basically do what he wanted Job to do, curse God and die. But I'm not going to do it. Amen. Now, let's just look at this some more. Amen. Come on, are you with me now?
Yeah.
Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. And now, if you don't need this morning, just help anyway, because somebody beside you might need it.
Yeah.
A lot of times people go, I don't need this morning. I already got this, Pastor. Well, all right. How about somebody else?
Yeah.
You know, we shouldn't come to church selfish. We should come to church ready to help people. Amen. Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, how many know Simon's Peter, right? Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Doesn't that sound like the book of Job? Where Job went before God, and what about Job? See, evidently Satan's went before God about Peter. And he said he's desired to have you. That word desired means he's asked for you, or listen now, he's demanded to try a trial. He's asked for you, or he's literally demanded, listen to this, for a trial. He wants your faith to go on trial. Let's just see if Peter's faith is real. Will Peter give up his faith? A little testing? Amen. But notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, listen, I have prayed for you. Woo, glory to God. Well, how many know he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us right now? I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. How many think that Jesus probably knew what to pray about? What did he pray about? That his faith fail not. What was the devil after then? He was after Peter's faith. His aim was literally to get Peter to leave Jesus. That was his aim. See, I say this, I don't know if you believe me or not, but the devil's not convinced that he can't get you back. That's what happened here. He's asked for Peter. I want Peter back. He was really a good disciple of mine. Amen. And I want him back. And so he tried Peter's faith, but thank God in the end Peter stood. Didn't he? He got shaken, didn't he? You know, he did deny the Lord, but when he thought about it, he wept bitterly and he came back. So his faith was tested. I told you there's going to be a lot of joy this morning. I'm not feeling it yet. Maybe we'll get there. Hallelujah. I don't know. It helps me to know what the devil's after. No, I'm not going to let you have it. You're not going to get it. Well, Pastor, you've never been through tests. I guarantee you, I've probably been through tests heavier than a lot of people in this building have. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So, and really, it's about our faith. It's all about our faith. That's what the devil's after. He's after our faith. He's after our confidence in God. If he can get that, then, you know, he's accomplished his purpose. He's hurt God. And so, yeah, Peter, you know, his faith was tried. The devil came and he asked for him. It's the same thing. It's the same story that we've had since the book of Job. It's been going on for thousands of years. But guess what? We're victorious. What do we have to do? Listen, this isn't hard. Let's go to James chapter 1. Come on, are you with me this morning? This isn't real hard. And I'm going to talk to you, before we close out here in just a few minutes, I'm going to talk to you about what God's purpose is. We know what the devil's purpose is now. It's for us to, you know, to curse God, to give up on our faith. But go to James chapter 1, and then I want to talk to you a little bit about God's got a plan. God's got a plan when we're going through trials. And you have to know that, or you can give up. But James, go to James chapter 1. Verse 2, the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, you don't have to lift your hand, but I just want to ask a question. How many do that? How many count it all joy when you're going through trial? Woo, glory to God. Okay, I think I got my question answered right now. Not many of us do, right? You know why? Because we forget some things. We don't know some things. Listen. And what is joy? I don't know what it was. I think it might have been Dustin here a while back was talking about joy, the difference between it and happiness. You may not always be happy with your circumstances, but you can have that deep, residing joy of the Lord inside of you. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And see, when you have that, that's something that the Bible says is your strength. That'll sustain you. So count it all joy. Now notice this. When you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. You have to know something. That the trying of your faith works patience. So evidently, it's the devil's after your faith. There it is again, right? The trying of your faith. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. What do you got to do in trials? What do you got to do? You got to pray until you find some secret mystic key somewhere. It may be somewhere there's a, you know, or you know, go from meeting to meeting, you know, until maybe you just find somebody that's got the power and the anointing to get you out of that trial. You know, listen, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that you got to persevere. Hallelujah. Because why? Because when you persevere, if you truly persevere in faith, you're coming out on the other side. Notice this, lacking nothing. Woo, hallelujah. So what's he saying? Well, just keep, don't give up. Just keep persevering. Why? Because you're going to come out on the other side lacking nothing. Come on, somebody. Now, God has a plan. I said, God's got a plan. What's his plan? All right. We're in James. Go to James chapter 5. Come on, are you getting anything today? James chapter 5. Go there. And I want to read to you two verses. I know, you know, that trials isn't the greatest, most exciting thing to talk about. But when you learn what the devil's after and you learn what God's plan is, you can have joy. You can have joy because you begin to see some things. Amen. How many remember the scripture? It's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Anybody remember that scripture? Now, what is that scripture saying? Well, Jesus, I mean, the cross, he didn't want to go through that. He wanted to obey his Father's will, but he didn't like to thaw that in the garden. He said, not my will, but yours be done. But before that, before he said, not my will, but yours be done, he said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. So he really, if you want to use the word, dreaded that. But yet the Bible says, for the joy set before him. In other words, he saw that there was something coming on the other side of that. And therefore, he was able to have joy because he saw something else was coming. Now, I want to show you something. See, the devil's purpose in trials is to get you to give up on your faith. That's his purpose. To put as much pressure on you as he possibly can to get you to give up. Here's God's purpose. James chapter 5, verse 10. The Bible says, take my brethren the prophets who've spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience or endurance. Listen, verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very, the King James says pitiful, but it's an old English word, means compassionate and of tender mercies. Now, the King James Bible says you've seen the end of the Lord, but the New King James says it a really good way. It says, which kind of clears it up. It says you've seen the end intended by the Lord. So when Job went through his trial, the devil had an intended end, which is curse God, give up on your faith. But God had an intended end. Now Job persevered, didn't he? Job, he kept his faith. He kept worshiping God. He kept walking through it. He got to the other side, and what was the end intended by the Lord? Well, we won't go turn to the Scripture, but if you were to look at the Scripture in Job 42, when Job's trial was over, the Bible says that the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Now, that really means where the King James says it turned to captivity. What that word captivity there means, he restored his former prosperity. The New King James says he restored his losses. But then it goes on and says, and he gave him twice as much as he had before. And then it says, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. So when this trial started out, the devil had in mind, I'm going to get Job to give up on his faith. God had in mind, I'm going to bring my son out on the other side of this with twice as much as what he already had. Amen. Now, how many know when you approach a trial like that and realize if I'll just persevere in faith, I'm coming out on the other side with twice as much as what I had before I went in it, you can have some joy. But you have to know something. That the trying of your faith produces patience, endurance, and endurance causes you to be lacking nothing. Job came out on the other side lacking nothing. He was already, the Bible said, the richest man in all the East. But when he got done, he was doubly the richest man in all the East. That just helps me. I don't know if that does anything for you, but that helps me. That just helps me realize it. You know, because, I'm honest with you. I've never been trying to be dishonest with you and let you think that faith is, a panacea where we never have any issues. We never have any trials. We never have any tests. No, I'm going through some testing right now. I'm going through some trials right now. I'm believing God for some things right now that need to straighten out in my life. I'm believing God for that. Some things are starting to turn. I can see some things turning. But I do know that it's been a battle, and I do know it's been a fight. Well, Pastor, you haven't told us about it. Well, there's just some things that you just don't necessarily always go around and talk about, all the time. But, there's been some things. And besides, I appreciate, just pray for me anyway. You don't have to know all the details sometimes, just pray for me anyway. Well, I just like to know the gory details. I'm just a detail person. Well, then don't pray for me. But anyway, what I'm saying? I've had some battles. And some of it looked like it was pretty serious. And so, but it here's the thing. I just know during all of it, I just know the voice of the devil, and what he says to you is like, well, if all this is true, why aren't you delivered right now? Anybody ever heard that voice? See, that's the voice of the devil. And what is he trying to do? Get me offended at God because God hasn't done something as quick as I think God should do something.
Come on now.
Job didn't operate that way. And I've just learned to recognize that's the voice of the devil. Hey, here's what I do. Devil, you know what? Listen. All right, so you've got some things. You've fired some shots. But guess what? I'm coming out on the other side.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm coming out with twice as much.
Amen.
As what I had. And, mine's not financial issues, so don't take... Well, go ahead if you want to. I started to say, don't take up an offering for me. But I thought, well, don't say that. Go ahead if you want to. Yeah, that's not my issues. My issues are something else that's going on in my life. But the thing of it is if I just keep my faith and I persevere, I'm coming out on the other side. I recognize what it's all about.
Amen.
Brother Hagin used to talk about preaching on God's prosperity, Bible prosperity. And he would say, I preach it before I had anything. He said, I was so broke, holes in your shoes, he would call the block of your hat wore out, the top of your hat wore out, and he said, I'd still preach on prosperity. Why? Because it was true.
Yeah.
Well, see, the devil will tell you, you can't preach on that because you don't have that. Well, you should, when it comes to morality, you should walk in moral things before you start preaching on it. But the blessings of God, we have to fight for those, see. And so Brother Hagin, he would say, I would drive at night time. He'd have meetings. He said, I have to drive at night because my tires were so bald, if you drove on the hot asphalt, they'd blow out. So you couldn't travel the daytime. You had to travel at night. And he said, I'd preach on prosperity. Had that old rattle-trap car out there. Amen. See, if you just stick with it and you don't give up, you persevere, you're coming out on the other side. I heard Brother Copeland tell this story many times. Years ago, he told this story. He's doing pretty well now. I don't think he's struggling too much. And, but I heard him say, when he heard Brother Hagin's teachings, man, he wanted his tapes. He wanted his tapes. So he was over in the Tulsa area, and he went by the office, Brother Hagin's office, and Brother Hagin's son-in-law, Buddy, was Harrison. I remember Buddy. Yeah, Buddy was in there working. He was the office manager. And so Brother Copeland pulls up in this old rattle-trap car that's just, held together by wire, And he pulls up in there, and he says, I've got to have, he talks to Buddy. He says, he told him who he was and how he really enjoyed Brother Hagin's teachings. He said, I've got to have his teachings. And he said, I'll tell you what, if you give me everything that Brother Hagin has on tape, he said, I promise you, I will pay for it. And he said, I'll leave you the title to my car, and you know, as collateral. Then I'm going to come back and pay for it. He said, I got a meeting coming up, and I'm going to get some money from that meeting. I'll come back and pay for these cassettes. Or they weren't cassettes, they were real reels. And, you know, he said, I'll leave my title of my car for collateral. Well, Buddy said, no, you don't need to do that. And he just gave him them anyway. But Buddy told him years later, after, you know, Brother Copeland had started getting blessed and started prospering, Brother Copeland said, you remember that day I came to the office, you know, and Buddy said, oh, yeah. I gave you the title to, I was going to give you the title of my car. And Buddy said, I didn't want your car. He said, I saw you pull in. He said, we didn't even want the thing parked in front of the building. We preach prosperity around here. I have too. I've driven some of them too. And if that's where you're at, how many know God's got more for you? Don't beat yourself up. Don't condemn yourself up. Just say, thank God, God's got more. I'm coming to the other side. Hallelujah. And so we have to realize that. We have to realize what the devil's after and what God's after. The devil's out to get us to give up so he can get to God. But God's out to bless us. Now, when you realize that, see, just like some of the issues I'm facing right now in my own personal life, which I'll leave unnamed, but some of them, I realize I'm coming out on the other side. I'm not stopping here. I'm not camping here. I'm not dying here. I'm coming out on the side. And see, we didn't even finish reading that one scripture in Revelation. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. We often forget about that part. They love not their lives unto the death. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean we're going to have to die for the Lord? Well, most of us, no. But what it means is they're committed. They're sticking with it all the way to the death. They're going to stay with God. They're going to stay with His word all the way to the death. Well, so, Pastor, what would you do if you died in the middle of believing God for what you're believing God for? I'd go to heaven. Woo, hallelujah. Wouldn't that be awful? That'd be great, right? So, see, the devil can't win either way. My job is not to question the timing. My job is not to question all the little idiosyncrasies, all the details. My job is just to do like Job did and believe God and stay with it and persevere all the way through the end till I'm on the other side and I got twice as much. That's my job. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. See, you know, I like something Brother Eddie said years ago when he was preaching here. He said, if I was laying on my back and my feet were pointing up in the air, and my last breath, I'd say, by His stripes, I am healed. Amen. Now, why would we say? Because that's what the Bible said. Yes. Well, what if you died? You would be healed. One brother said it this way. I'll close with this, you know, because people think about death as like the ultimate terrible thing to happen to you. Well, listen. It's a lot harder on the people that are left behind than it is you if you're born again. You know, if you go, we're going to miss you. But you're not going to miss us. You're not going to get to heaven and say, oh my gosh, if I could just see my dog one more time. If I could just see old Blue one more time. Man, you're not even going to think that. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Hey, amen. This is the final story, okay? But, you know, I've heard this story years ago, but it really blessed me when I heard it. Years ago, when Brother Oral Roberts was still on the earth, he had an associate minister named DeWeese. And some of you may remember him if you go back long enough. But Mr. DeWeese one time had a heart attack, and he died. He literally died. And he went up to heaven. He said he got up there. And he said when he got up there, you know, he saw the beauty that he saw. And he said he could hear his wife calling him back. His wife's name was Charlotte. And he said he could hear her pleading, praying, and calling him back. And he said, the next thing I knew, I was back in my body. And he said, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, Charlotte, why did you do that for? See, it's a reality, folks. And you know, one minister said, you know, when the moment you die, if you're a believer, the moment you die, when you look down on your body, you'll say, thank God that's over with. Because listen, here's the truth about it. If you're a believer, the most hell you're ever going to have, you're experiencing it right now. But if you're not a believer, the most heaven you're ever going to have, you're experiencing it right now. For us, it just gets better. For the unbeliever that doesn't accept Christ, it just gets worse. So, I mean, all we got to look forward to is just it to get better and better and better. Amen? Come on, did you get a nugget of truth? You know, it wasn't real deep this morning. Maybe it bored some of you. I don't know. But, you know, Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. In almost 40 years, I've had a lot of different afflictions, you know, different things. And I haven't had much sickness at all, don't misunderstand me. I've had very little of that in the last 40 years since I became a believer. But other areas, you know, I'm experiencing some attacks physically right now, but thank God I got victory. Praise God. And so, you know, during that, all of them, what I was going to say, I haven't had one yet the Lord hasn't delivered me out of. Not one. He's delivered me out of them all. Would I have preferred he delivered me a little sooner? Always.
Amen.
Always. If God would do it my way, I want delivered before it happens.
That's right.
But that's just not reality. That's not what the Bible even promises us. But it does tell us this is a victory that overcomes our faith. We just keep trusting God, keep believing God. He's going to bring us out to the other side. Amen. And we're coming out with victory. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.